Hello, all monsters. Welcome to Telemattopractice. Welcome to Caffeinated Monsters, the bi-weekly comedy horror podcast. As always, I'm your host Faith, and today we've got Becky with us.
Everyone.
Tell us about yourself, what you do.
So I'm Becky. I run my own company called Roller Dirty Soaps, and I make all kind of self-care products and stuff like that, which is really cool. And I also play a lot of roller derby and sell mostly at roller derby games. So that's a bit about me.
Very niche market, and it's very you.
I am niche. I'm weird and I like it that way. It's all good.
Yeah, same. It's fun to be weird.
Exactly.
Weird and wonderful. But yeah, we've got a couple of films to talk about. The Murderdrome in particular, and maybe a few harsh words for Skateway Massacre.
Oh, so many words, none of them good.
Yeah, shall we shit on that one first?
I think we have to now that we've brought it up, really, don't we?
Yeah. I just loved your reaction to it. I was like, oh, what have I done? Why does I suggest that?
It's fine, because I didn't have to pay to watch it, so it's just an hour and a half of my life that I'm never going to get back.
I apologise for that.
It's fine, I signed up for it, but I watch a lot of B-grades, and that was the worst acting I've ever seen in my life. It was, would not recommend.
Yeah. Well, you're an Amazon Prime if anyone wants to waste an hour and a half of their life.
If you do, please leave reviews, because I would love to know if anyone actually liked it, ever.
I'm curious as well. I mean, I like the dynamics between all the staff members, but yeah, the acting was a bit weird.
It's the thing, though, is it could have been so good that the writing was kind of there and the dynamics were there, and then somehow they made every decision wrong during the process of recording it.
I'd liked some of the deaths, though.
That was about the only redeeming feature, yeah.
I mean, if you can get the deaths right but nothing else, then yeah, you made it a bit more memorable.
True. It was memorable, but not in the best way.
Oh, dear.
It's definitely no 1999 cinematic masterpiece, The Mummy, but it was memorable.
Oh, Brendan Fraser.
The Renaissance.
I would love that.
I can't believe you've not heard the term the Renaissance.
No, I have not.
Oh yeah, the return of Brendan Fraser. We're living for it. It's amazing.
I'm glad he's making a comeback.
Yeah, he's just such a lovely person.
And he had such a shit time of it.
I know. I can't believe I've managed to get us off topic already.
Yeah, I think that's a record for us, actually. We usually do go off topic in this, but this is probably a record.
I'm sure there will be many tangents tonight. My brain works in mysterious ways.
I just blame my dyslexia and my strange imagination for it. So.
Me too.
That's makes life more interesting.
Exactly. Just all of the neurodivergence. Off we go. All of the tangents.
Oh, God. That reminds me of the top sequence for, what's it? Captain Planet. Where everyone's shouting different things. And it's like, everyone neurodivergent. Going off.
I used to love Captain Planet. That was such a good show.
I've actually got an action figure for him, but his face looks a bit like Michael Jackson because part of his nose is missing.
I don't know whether to laugh or not. Like, now I just want to see the action figure now.
Yeah, hold on.
Oh my god, that is amazing and also mildly horrifying at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a good mullet going on.
He has a great mullet going on.
Quite a burly chest on him, though. I mean,
it's kind of have like that mullet. Dorito kind of shape.
Yes. Or as I like to call it, the leg day bow.
It's the pre-Chris Evans Dorito.
Oh. See, everyone remembers him as like the Captain America. I remember him from Not Another Teen Movie, where there's a banana in his crack.
I remember him from Not Another Teen Movie, but I mostly remember him from things, because it was way before Fantastic Four. The Losers, which is amazing.
I've got I've got that on DVD. Even then, he's quite burly.
Yeah, but I was like, I love The Losers so much, and just the elevator scene in that is one of my favourites of all time.
Can't blame you, if I'm honest.
Right, anyway, we were supposed to be talking about horror movies, not comic book movies.
Yeah.
Let's get myself back on track.
I love how we just kind of went from a film we don't like to Captain Planet and then Chris Evans.
With some Brendan Fraser thrown in along the way, just for fun.
Yes.
I apologise for all of the listeners for throwing everyone off track so repeatedly so early in the day. Welcome to my mind.
Yes, and people have... Yes, and welcome back to mine after nearly 3 or 4 weeks now. But yeah, so people are curious. I will put a picture up of my Captain Planet.
Definitely, so all the pictures.
Know what we've just looked at.
Just leave them in the dark. Just show a picture of the back of his head. Show off the mullet and just leave it at that. Please send in drawings.
Mini photo shoot.
What you think the front of him looks like?
Oh dear.
I'm off topic again.
Yeah. But yeah, Skateboy Massacre. Not a great film, but if you've got an hour and a half to throw away, put it on.
Yeah, definitely. It wasn't amazing, but I would watch it again. Like, it was interesting. I did spend a lot of my time shouting at the TV, why are none of you wearing a helmet? Just the, you've all got skates on. Why have none of you put your helmet on first?
Up a lot of that as well. It's kind of, why have none of you got, like, knee guards or anything on it? It's just kind of like, oh, God, someone's got a
knee. Well, half the time they had knee pads and elbow pads, but never a helmet. But to be fair to one of them, they did put their mouth guard in before making physical contact with the demon. I want to say it's...
That was Murder Drone where it was a demon.
Oh, yeah, it's Murder Drone, isn't it? The other one. But yeah, also, I'm just like, lack of helmets on everybody and all of the protective gear. Like, please, put it on.
Yeah, now that we've shat on Skateboy Massacre and Michael Jackson, Captain Planet, let's go on to Murder Drone.
Yep, so yeah, Murder Drone was good. I would watch it again. It was quite enjoyable. There was actual proper flat track roller derby at the beginning of it, which made me really happy. So
I liked it.
Yeah, I was watching the beginning of it and I was like, I see at least 3 cut tracks in this one bit of flat track roller derby. But that's just the officially me going, oh, but it was good.
I'll happily watch it again, if I'm honest. I mean, just for a bit of background info, it's an Australian comedy horror film released in either 2013 or 2014. It's about a love triangle that causes a demon to be resurrected from hell and devours human souls and starts killing off the lead lady's teammate.
Yeah, so the love triangle is between Cherry Sky, Brad, and his ex-girlfriend Hellgrazer, which I was like, I love the fact that the entire movie uses derby names. Like, no actual name is given the whole way through. It's all derby names, which was a really nice touch.
It's whenever I spotted, like, someone's name, and I was like, I like that.
Yeah.
I didn't get the love triangle causing the demon to come up from hell. I didn't realise that that was what the main thing was. I thought it was something to do with, like, she wanted to visit to exact revenge on other roller derby players or something, and it was like, oh
yeah, because I was like,
yeah,
I got
the necklace.
I got the necklace bit, but it did take me a bit of a to go back and go, oh okay, it's because of the love triangle. I figured it was just because she had the necklace originally, and then I was like, so that was a bit confusing. That could do with some clarifying, but other than that, the world building was pretty generic, but okay, like they did all right with the back and forward between the two teams, or the members of the two teams anyway, that were the main part of the storyline.
What did you feel about Cherry Sky as a character? Because I preferred Trans M, but that might be because of I have a very similar sense of humour to her.
I definitely preferred Trans M. Cherry Sky came across as a little bit of a wet blanket, especially
wet
towards the beginning. Yeah, towards the beginning of the movie. She got better towards the end. There was some character growth, which was good. But yeah, I definitely preferred Trans M. And I felt a bit of a kinship with, oh my goodness, looking up names because I'm terrible at remembering them.
I liked Psych. I thought she was quite funny.
That's the one. I was like, because my sense of humour very much lines up with Psych's. And I was like, if I was going to be anyone in that movie, it would be Psyche. And I did like when she remembered to put her mouth guard in before contact, made me happy. But yeah, the lack of helmets did my nut in throughout the movie. I was like, yeah, you're outdoor skating, you're running around at night and you're fighting a demon and none of you have bothered to put a helmet on. But they did all at least remember knee guards and elbow pads.
Yes.
Like the entire way through.
For that.
Yeah.
I like the fact that each character, you could tell that each one had like a decent personality each and they actually gave a share about each other. Like you could see them actually going to the pub together afterwards.
Exactly. Like you can, the team spirit was there and you could tell they were like, it came across that they were people that spent a lot of time together and were really good friends, even though they were quite drastically different from each other, which was nice. Like the relationship was there from the start of the movie. It wasn't something that needed to be built towards.
Mm, I like that. It was nice to sort of see them gel well together. Cause you know, when you watch a film, it's like, you can tell these people have only known each other like a day and someone just rolled the camera and they're like, pretend to be best friends. And it's like, you probably don't even know each other's last names.
Definitely. Like that came across really well. And also the fact that they all looked quite relaxed in front of the camera most of the time. Like they were playing around and it looked like they kind of forgot it was there a lot of the time.
I think this film was actually put on, I want to say Indiegogo or Kickstarter to try and get like a, get a bit of a budget going for it, which I thought was really good because I think they might have known each other outside of the film itself, I think.
Yeah, it definitely seems like that because a lot of, like on the IMDb and that, a lot of the top cast and people in it don't actually have an acting profile at all. They're listed for this one thing and they don't even have a photo up, so I think a lot of them were just picked and did the thing and knew each other quite well anyway, and that definitely comes across throughout the movie.
What did you think of the bad guy? Like I liked the name Mama Skate as the demon bad guy.
Loved the name. I loved the kind of staging that they did every time she came on. The actual wearing rollerblades instead of roller skates did my nut in a little bit because I'm like, everyone else is on quad skates and you've said it's a derby thing and then you've got the actor for Mama Skate on a pair of roller skate inline skates instead. But okay. but I was like, some of Mama Skate's bits looked a little bit not too posed, if that makes sense.
Almost like she knew what she was doing. Like she knew she was playing the bad guy and was kind of like fun with it.
Yeah. So like the action scenes came across really well, but the kind of stalking scenes in between when she was coming across the characters and dragging things across the walls and stuff like that, I was like, these are a little bit not quite so good as everything else. But also that might just be that I'm like, if you're about to stab someone with that pointy thing, why are you dragging the blade of it across the floor and dulling it right before you're about to hit someone with it? But
let me just break some of your ribs before I get through.
Exactly, but that's just one of those things that my brain gets pedantic about. It is like, that's supposed to be really sharp and it's just gone straight through someone's head, but also you've just blunted that blade by dragging it across the wall for 300 meters before you've got there.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. I mean, I kind of like that bit because it reminded me of Nightmare on Elm Street, where Freddy in the dream is like dragging the claws against the walls and causing sparks.
Yeah, that's the thing is, I'm like, at least in Freddy's, it kind of the intimidation aspect makes sense and it's a dream, so you're like, okay, they could still be sharp. But I think that's just my brain being like, it's a demon, it could probably still make it sharp, but nah. Like it's the real world, you're gonna have to spend an hour like resharpening that after this, why would you? But yeah,
oh god, there were some of the times where she was like slowly rolling and like skating behind people, the Jaws theme tune came on over softer in my head. Like she was like slowly going past and you see her like in the background. I was like, duh.
Yeah, I definitely got that. I've got to say, I did love the scene in the garage with Psyche and the opposing team members when she was taking them out and then Psyche came rolling in and she was fighting Psyche. I thought that bit was so well done, especially when she had Psyche on the stairs, like just at the end of it. And I was like, yes. This is just the look of disgust on her face when she looked down at her and she was still conscious. I was like, yes, this is perfect.
Oh, the bit before that, I don't know that girl's name on the opposing team, the other blonde.
Oh, right.
when you see her in the background and you see her like swinging from the chain and yes. Like, just turns around and sees it's like, fuck for this, and sees her trying to skate off.
Yeah. Just said that, I've got to say, just because we haven't mentioned it, the janitor.
He annoyed me and confused me.
I was like, is he needed?
No.
And also, like, was he good? Was he bad? It was very, I think that was the least well-planned bit of the movie. Like, it didn't really move anything along.
Why does he always have his cleaning trolley with him?
I'm guessing because he worked at the motordrome and there was a lot of blood to clean up, but...
That's the fact that he's literally walking about, like, 15 miles with it. That's the thing that confused me.
Definitely. When the building first turned up, though, I did love the little conversation between Brad and Trans M. It was like, I've lived here my whole life. You know what I've never noticed before? Like, a derelict skate park with a neon sign on the roof that says Murder Drone? I was like, oh, the sarcasm. I love it so much.
Love it. I just love Australian humour when it comes to horror films. Like, they just get it right.
Yeah, definitely.
There needs to be more Australian horror movies. I can think of a few, but it's kind of like there aren't a huge amount. No, it's upsetting.
I think the main one that everyone seems to talk about is... What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, yes, I love that film.
I like the film. I really love the series, though.
I still need to watch the show.
It's so good.
It does look good. I saw the clip about the chain letter when they keep sending it to each other, and it's like, we need to send it to at least 5 phones. It's like, why'd you send it to me?
Oh, yeah. But because Jermaine Clement, who worked on the movie, wrote the series, and it's so well written, and it has a lot of the kind of Australian humour in it. From him, and it translates really well.
I would say look up Wormwood, because that's like a zombie infected Australian horror film, and it's really good to watch.
The 2014 one?
Yes. It was made by, I think it was two brothers that were working full time, and it took them like 4 years to make altogether, because they were balancing like their life and also full time work and our family as well.
I will just add that to my watch list now.
I think it's the sequel. It's either coming out this year or next year.
Ooh, I love a good movie with a sequel.
I like it when they actually plan it out and they don't just, oh God, what's... One thing I absolutely hate is when people do like 2 or 3 films in like a consecutive order and then do like one where it's a prequel. Oh. It's like, either do it in chronological order or I'm going to have to put them in the awkward way on my bookshelf just so I know what timeline it's going to be. Because it'll be like 1, 2, 3, 5, and then it'll be like 6, and then it'll be just all over the place. It just doesn't matter.
At least don't put numbers on the boxes. Like, don't put a number on the box so I can put them in chronological order on my shelf and it doesn't look wrong. But, I think the Hannibal movies did that really well, though. I really enjoyed Hannibal Rising when that came out.
I liked it too. I think it was the guy that played Hannibal in that one. I think he died this year.
Didn't know that. That's sad.
I think it was him.
But yeah, I think they did really well because they came to the natural conclusion of the main storyline. So they're like, we're going to go back and tell the beginning of it. But they did it in such a way that it didn't ruin the first three that they'd already bought out. Because if people go back and do a prequel and then they just cause plot holes for everything else, does my night in. You already have all of the lore in place and now you've gone back and disregarded all of it. Why?
See the frustration on your face.
It's fine. I'm not going to rant about this for another 45 minutes. I've not had this rant before.
So I feel like that with the Underworld series.
Yes.
As much as I love those films, I don't like the fact that it wasn't in chronological order. I hated Michael, he deserved better in the later film. It's kind of like, but he's almost indestructible. Like, he literally survived having like a pipe through his heart and he became resurrected within like 20 minutes. But putting a grenade,
I love those movies so much. Yeah, like, I love those movies so much. But the further you go on, the more problems there are. But I think like the first one is just, I think, basically a cult classic at this point.
Mm.
And the rest of it, I'm like, I'll give or take. Usually, if I'm going to watch them, I have to rewatch all of them because I'm like, I've started now, I'm going to finish it. But I've started doing that less and less now that I'm like, the inconsistencies.
Oh God, it's like every time there's a new inconsistency, it's like my brain, it hurts.
And I find it worse when you haven't watched them for ages and you go back to them, or a new one comes out and then your brain goes, that's not right. Why isn't that right? And then you're like, now I have to go back and watch all of the first 5, 6 to figure out what inconsistency is wrong here, because I know there's one, but I can't figure it out without going back to watch them.
Oh God, it just, that sounds so much like the that meme from The Office where the guy has like the pin, the board of all the strings and pins and pictures and everything all over the place.
It's conspiracy. I say that like I know what I'm talking about, but I've seen the meme, but I've never watched The Office.
Same. I've seen that meme so often, it's kind of like, that's literally how people must see me when I'm venting. If there's no consistencies, and I'm like, oh no.
I figure I'm just taking like Dipper from Gravity Falls. Everyone is like, they're just talking utter rubbish, but we're going to sit here and smile and nod until they go away.
Oh, I used to do that in Vietnam. I'm like, yeah. Yes, we have a complaints department. Talk to them, please. Get out the shop. I didn't set the prices. Please shut up.
Oh, the joys of customer service.
Oh, I'm glad I left it behind. I miss the colleagues, but not the job.
Valid.
When you look at them and it's like, you're the only people that, you're the only thing that's stopping me from setting this place on fire with me inside it. Dear. So, oh God, I'm trying to get back on topic.
Right.
I thought that the fact that the film actually had a lower budget gave it quite a bit of charm to it. Like, if it had quite a high budget, there would be a lot of things that wouldn't feel right somehow.
Yeah, definitely. It's just the whole tone of the movie was very kind of self-made. And I think if it had had a higher budget and they'd have tried to put more into it, it would have ended up taking away from the overall theme. I think it works really well with roller derby as well, because it's a really grassroots sport. The fact that the movie felt that way made it feel more compatible to me.
Like, you could sort of watch it and kind of go, this makes a lot of sense for me. Like, they're following a lot of the rules and regulations. And like you said, the fact that it's got the racetrack at the beginning, it kind of gave you an idea that these people know each other really well, and they have that team bond in a way.
Exactly. Like, you've all got that common aspect. So even when you're differing and making different decisions and going to different places in different ways, it still kind of brought it all together. And the fact that the movie did jump around a bit, but the fact that all of it stuck to the same kind of budget and the same kind of filming gave it that kind of tied in feel. So like, the people making the movie, like, the even though you didn't see anyone behind the camera but you knew there was someone there, made it feel like they were more part of it because of the way it was filmed.
Yeah, like when they followed them like down the high street of the camera, watching them do a lot of the tricks and...
Yeah, I also really loved the fact that Brad couldn't skate.
I like that as well.
that fully made me like his character so much more.
Oh, Brad, you're so silly.
Exactly, but like, he tried his best. I'm glad there was a happy ending as well, I think, for Cherry and Brad.
Yeah,
like, came out and it was done nicely. Like, it didn't feel forced.
I'm glad there weren't any like unnecessary sex scenes between those two, because I think that would have ruined the film for me.
Oh, definitely. Like, their kind of innocent energy was really nice, and it gave a nice kind of contradiction to all of the killing and everything else. And it was
sort of nice, colourful la 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 la, and then just someone get the head kicked off.
Exactly. Like, it's, I think they worked with the tropes rather than trying to work against them. So they kind of played it up a bit, and I think it worked really well for the style that they went with and the comedy they went with. So working with the like nice innocent trope, the guys in the, or the couple in the car getting killed first, and just going with your kind of basic horror tropes. But they did it in a way that felt like they were making fun of themselves more than anything else.
Yeah, I see where you're going with it. Yeah, some on-screen romances just don't work, but somehow theirs did. I think because they kind of, like you said, they both had quite a bit of an innocent sort of like naivety to them, but at the same time, they worked well as a couple, because I think they kind of worked as friends at the same time.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you could tell, even from the start, the first conversation that you see them have on screen together, you could tell that they'd previously spent time together and knew each other quite well. Like, it wasn't just a, oh, we're throwing this romance in there that's come from nowhere. They at least made it so that they knew each other previously and had spoken before and clearly had a kind of energy going on before they were like, oh, he's going to ask you out and you're going to go out for a drink and he's going to give you this necklace that's going to ruin your life kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. I like the fact that they actually had a bit of a world building, like they actually, the people that made it actually thought about not just like, oh, as soon as the camera's on, you're this. Like, they actually thought about, like, backgrounds for the characters.
Exactly. Like, it definitely came through. And, like, they must have done a lot of prep work for this movie, especially with all of the outdoor skating and scenes that they had and things like that. They put a lot of thought into where they were going to be, actually having them go around on decent skating surfaces and not just in a roller rink. Like, they must have put a lot of thought and effort into it beforehand, and I think that definitely paid off.
Most definitely. What you said about knowing where they've got about being skate safe for them to go around, I have to mention Mama Skate dragging dead bodies. Because imagine trying to explain to a random member of the public, someone that's fully dressed in black leather with fake metal weaponry, dragging a person covered in fake blood while you're both wearing roller skates. I mean, Mama Skate's got some good core muscles.
Yeah.
to drag someone while wearing skates is impressive.
Also, the balance to be able to lean over and have that much dead weight and not lose your footing on wheels. Super impressive.
Yeah. I mean, demon core strength, obviously, but still. I mean, that must have taken quite a few takes to get the leverage definitely. Just right.
Yeah, I was really impressed with that. Also, just like all of the skating they had going on, everyone looked so natural on their skates. Like, even when they were doing the tricks and things, you couldn't see them overthinking it or trying to figure out how do I do this. It all just looked really natural.
Yeah, they weren't sort of like overdoing it either. Like, they were sort of just doing what I imagine would probably be something that they'd consider a bit minor, just something just to like loosen up your muscles a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, they had like a few good few transitions going on, some nice footwork. It was really nice to see. And a lot of it as well, and a lot of the tricks and footwork they were doing is stuff that you learn as a roller derby skater, because it's all stuff that helps you get through the pack. It's all a lot of jammer skills, and it's all stuff that you need to know how to be able to do to play roller derby. So the fact that they were then using those same skills outside of the track was really nice too.
I mean, as a whole, I really enjoyed the film, but I recommend it for anyone to either watch it on their own with the partner or as a friend group. Like, it's good for any sort of situation.
Oh, definitely. I think it would be a really good like Halloween party movie as well.
Oh, yeah, so, definitely. Like,
you want something fun, you want something, because it's kind of a chilled out movie, but it also brings those high energy moments that get you like really into it, and you're like, oh, like, I know what's coming next and I can anticipate this, but we're going to throw a little something in to make it a little bit different.
Still can't go over the... I just really identify with Trans Am because of her, like, she didn't want to deal with bullshit. And you could tell she was just... It's when they said that she was, like, the team leader. I'm like, ah, that's probably why then. She knows what the team's like, especially Psych, when they when she had on one of the other team players' helmets on. They're like, where's Psych going? It's like, oh, she's chasing police cars again. It's like, oh, fuck's sake.
Yeah, it definitely gave that energy, and I really, really loved the fact that she was so done with everybody, even at the start, was like, do we really have to deal with this? But then as soon as she was needed, she was like, yeah, okay, we're in, let's get it done.
Oh, this is life or death, we need to sort this shit out. And it's like, oh, I like you.
she brought that kind of sensible character energy, but without the kind of boring sense that some movies can put that character in.
Yeah, she wasn't like the dead weight character where you're like, oh god, just die already.
Exactly. To be fair, other than Hell, who was the antagonist anyway, it was kind of like, okay, they need to. Other than that, there wasn't really anyone else in the movie that was in it for very long that I was like, they're definitely gonna die, they definitely need to die.
I like that there was that dynamic between cast, like the characters, whereas that you didn't want them to necessarily die, but you knew that something horrible was probably going to happen to each one of them, but you didn't know which one was going to get it first.
Yeah. Also, the fact that I think the deaths suited the characters really well. Like, all of them played up their personality aspect in how they died.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah, that it does kind of, each death melds with each character.
Yeah, so it, even though they were killing them off, it still felt kind of respectful to the character because it killed them off in a way that made sense for them. Like, none of the deaths felt kind of...
Make a good point.
I love it when people think my thoughts make sense. It happens so rarely.
Ah, no, neurodivergent. That's what it is. Synced. There was a couple of things where I felt that the story could have been a little bit neater. I mean, I try not to judge a book by its cover, but when I looked at the cover art for the film, I thought it was going to be like the it was going to end in like a roller derby
bout. Yeah,
that it was going to be like, look,
I definitely thought it was going to be more than one-on-one at the end. The cover art also gives me kind of anime vibes.
Yes, definitely. It was very, like, I thought that the main cast was going to be like, oh yeah, like Cherry Sky and her, like, dead teammates. I thought they were going to be, like, zombies or something like that, and they were going to be all on the team together. It's like one last battle to try and save Sky from being taken.
I definitely thought it was going to go something like that. I'm
disappointed with how it ended, but still.
No, it wasn't disappointing. I did like the pep talk before the end as well. Like, getting to see all of the characters one more time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. When they're all in their, like, dead form. Like, the first one that got her head lopped off, and she's just trying to hold her head up, and she has to write everything because she can't talk.
Yeah, but I just realised what reminds me of the... I had it a second ago, and now we've said something else, and my brain has died again.
Oh, I do that. Especially when I'm on my phone, and I'm kind of like, oh, I need to look into this, and I'll go to, like, open a new window, and I'm like, what was I going to look at again?
Oh, the anime they made the live action remake of, with the fighting tournament with the three women in it that had Lucy Liu in. And
I have no idea what that is.
Oh, right. To Google. It's so old now. I'm like, So I'm just going to let it go. And I will probably text you at about 3 o'clock this morning going, I meant this movie. Not that that helps anyone out there in the wider internet verse that's listening to this, but If you know what I mean, leave a comment.
Well, remember to, I'll put it in the description box. I'll be like, yeah, Becky was talking about this.
It's the movie where they all have to go and try and kill each other, and I can't remember what it's called. And it's doing my nutting.
That's a lot of anime these days where it's characters trying to kill each other.
Yeah, it's not an anime. It was remade as a Western live action movie. And it was... I want to say, like, early 2000s. It's a really old movie now, but I can't remember what it was.
It's weird when people say early 2000s. I'm like, not that long ago. And it's like, oh, no, it's been a while.
It's when people say, oh, my brain automatically thinks 1990s. And I'm like, no, that's very far away now. It's cool. Let's get back on track.
Yeah. What did you like about the film?
So, yeah, I just kind of really liked it overall. Like, there was little bits that could have been done better. The way it was all pulled together made it more charming, I think, rather than detracting from it. So it was just kind of a nice, not really background movie, because you want to pay attention to bits of it, but something simple and easy to watch, but still enjoyable.
Yeah, it's not a film that has, like, it's not overly complicated. So it's kind of like, you can kind of switch off and watch it and feel relaxed and comfy.
And I Although think it was...
Love... Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
I was just thinking, like, the only thing that I'm a little bit, like, about is that really the whole love triangle causing Mama Skate to be resurrected from hell to suck souls from people. It's just kind of like, I didn't get that when I first watched it. I looked it up on Wikipedia and I was like, oh, that's how she's come back.
Yeah, I think if you don't bother to look it up, though, you just kind of, or my brain just went, oh, he bought this necklace for, like, good luck, and it's clearly not a good luck charm. It's contains Mama Skate. So, like, without looking that up, I don't think it detracts too much from the movie, because you just assume that it's related to the necklace. You don't really think about the love triangle as being a main part of the storyline.
Mm.
It's just kind of, okay, she's the antagonist for a little while before the demon comes in, then you're like, oh no, she's still the antagonist even though there's a demon.
He's like the minor antagonist, and then you've got Mama Skate is like the big antagonist.
Yeah. And I think, especially for a while, because they don't realise Mama Skate is there as the main antagonist, I think the kind of love triangle, I thought, was just a plot device to move the story along. I didn't realise it was actually part of the main story.
Yeah, I didn't get that. I mean, yeah. I like the fact that you could tell that everyone had fun when they were making this film. Like, at the end credits, you see, like, little bits of, like, small clips of them in between takes where they're just having a laugh together. And I appreciated that from them, because it was just, you know, making films, it can be stressful, not only for the people making the film, but people starring in it as well. And to see them actually having a laugh and getting along, you know, and just being silly, it's nice and it's refreshing.
Definitely. And the fact that it wasn't kind of a gag reel, it was just them messing around and having fun, what looked like either when takes went wrong or between takes, kind of brought together the feeling of the fact that all of the actors had that energy together on screen, wasn't faked the whole way through, it was actually there.
You can imagine one of them not skating past in the background as like a gag reel, just shouting, ha ha, dickhead, just like going past.
Definitely. Especially Psyche.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Or just like skating around with the death makeup on and her head caved in, like, woo.
I just love the fact that in the speech scene, like, her eyes just hanging out and she's just there like, I can't see.
Exactly. Because I think even in the death scenes and when they were doing that kind of last speech bit, all of the characters were still true to themselves, which would be like, none of them were like, oh, we're in the afterlife and we're all perfect now and we all have all of this innate wisdom. It was just kind of like, yeah, we're dead, but we're all still stupid.
I even like the fact, oh God, what's his face? The guy that was getting some in the back of his car, like, even he was kind of like trying to like hiss on Cherry Sky.
Yeah, and then the girl that he was with, like, really, you're doing this now? And he's like, I don't know her. Because she's just like, everyone knows someone like that. And you're like, it makes all of the characters so relatable.
I like the fact that the girl he was hooking up with was the aggressor in that situation, where he was kind of like, when she went for him in the back of the car.
Yeah, definitely. She's like, I'm getting mine, getting gear.
I need to de-stress off that one. And, oh God, Transcend, like, just her, even in Death, like, her character's very, like, oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, she's like, really? I'm dead and I still have to deal with your rubbish. Like, I can't catch a break.
Yeah. It's like, I can't even get peace in death. Yeah, I highly recommend it to everyone. Just watch it. I mean, it's, you rent it on Amazon Prime, Apple, and I think Google as well. Like, Google Play, you can rent it from as well.
I think so. I got it from Amazon and it was, I think, 99p to rent, which is cheap, really easy, and just an enjoyable way to waste an hour and a half and a quid of your money.
I mean, it's cheaper, like, than a coffee.
Exactly. It lasts longer too.
Yes. Yeah, you have a point there.
But yeah, it's definitely a really enjoyable watch. And I think they managed to put in some really nice symbolism with the characters and the deaths and things like that, that I think you could watch it back a few times and still pick up a couple of little nuances, but without having to overthink it every time you watch it.
Yeah, like, you pick up on like minor details here and there.
Yeah.
I think the director's done a few other like low-budget horror films. I need to look it up, and I mean, if there's any other ones, I'm more than happy, if you fancy doing another episode, and we can watch some of those.
Oh, definitely. There's, I think this was their second feature film, and the other one that pops up on the IMDb is From Paris Unknown, Fight Like a Girl, which sounds interesting straight off the shot.
Sounds very early 2000s.
But came out in 2015.
Yeah. I mean, there is a film that I think you'd like. It's very B-movie-esque. It's called Cheeborg.
I believe that is currently on my watch list.
On mine as well.
Yes, it is on my watch list.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to watch that one and review it together.
No.
I love those films. So it's kind of like, it's made of love, but at the same time, you just are like, fucking hell. How'd they make this?
Did they not see any of this before they started thinking about making it this way, really?
But at the same time, I love it when people make films like that, when they're like, you know what, I love storylines where, yeah, there's a couple of hiccups, but at the same time, the film is made for a lot of love, the characters are a lot of fun, and the fact that you can tell that, oh yeah, even though it's got a bit of a budget, they've really thought through the film, even though it is a bit daft, but they've made lore around it somehow. Which is better than some big budget films you get in the cinema where it's kind of like, they give you like the base idea and then you just run with it.
Yeah, definitely. I think the fact that when you get low budget movies that people have put this amount of love and that into, it comes across, even if the film isn't amazing, it's made better by the fact that you can tell that everyone making it was so invested in it.
Excuse me. Like, you know, it's less likely to have like drama on set, like, you know, with some of the controversies that come out with a lot of filmmakers, and it's just kind of like, you know what, it's nice to watch a film. You don't feel guilty for watching it because either the filmmaker's a complete douche or because an actor is causing issues and being a diva.
Yeah, definitely. And to be fair, if Sharknado got the budget to say that these movies couldn't have been amazing and, like, got made in Hollywood because, you know, Sharknado 5 is a thing.
Yeah, that's on Amazon Prime at the moment. I keep seeing it there and I'm like, I don't want to.
I have not watched any of them yet, but I'm like, I feel like at one point I might have to, just because can you go through life and not watch something that terrible? I'm like, I've watched Piranha and the Piranha 3 Double D, so yep. I've probably got to give Sharknado a try at some point.
I mean, I've watched Aquarium of the Dead, so...
And I'm like, to be fair, at this point, I've watched Skate Away Massacre, so anything else is going to be better than that.
Yeah. But I would say, I did see a meme, like, a couple of years back that said... I do find it quite inspiring, actually. It says, if you ever feel that your film idea is dumb... just remember, someone set out to make a film about sharks in a tornado, and look where it is now.
Yeah, that's one of those Monday morning things when you're just like, everything is terrible, and then you're like, oh no, this idea could have merit. It's better than Sharknado, right?
And they managed to make that interesting somehow, and yeah, go for it, just do it.
Didn't they have like? Didn't they even have like John Cena in one of those movies or something somewhere along the way?
Did they?
I feel like one of those I've seen had John Cena in it, like the adverts for it.
I can imagine like a shark just flying past him and him just standing there going, "You can't see me."
I was like, try and Google John Cena shark movie, and all that comes up is Suicide Squad, and then questions about whether King Shark's going to get his own movie, and I'm like, please tell me yes. King Shark is a great character.
I like his character. He's just so adorable and savage.
I really love the bit with him and Constantine in the Harley Quinn animated series.
I haven't seen that.
John Constantine walks into a bar and Harley and King Shark are stood at the bar, and he's like, oh no, my ex is here. And someone's like, oh, you dated Harley Quinn? No one dates that much crazy. So it's now officially in canon, outside of the comics, that John Constantine and King Shark were in a relationship.
Cute, but at the same time, I'm like, was it physical? If so, how does that work?
Nobody knows. But actually, I'm sure somebody on the internet somewhere knows and wants to share, but I don't want to see it.
Like a marine biologist or something is kind of like, I know how it works. It's just kind of like...
That face sums up perfectly.
I can just... Oh, no, no, no. I'm starting to think about possible fan art. Right.
Now I've ruined your evening.
No, it's made it interesting, actually. I'm trying to think, like, what would they talk about? Is that... Yeah, how would you rate the film, then?
I think probably a 7.5 out of 10.
Yeah, I'll give it that as well.
I feel like that kind of sums it up nicely. Just 7.5.
Yeah. Not perfect, but not mediocre.
Yeah.
I like that rating.
Yeah, definitely re-watchable, but not perfect and not in like the top 10. Definitely go back to all the time comfort movies, but definitely worth a watch or three.
Yeah, but you could easily watch it in like 6 months' time.
Yeah.
Where can people find you?
People can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, all at Roller Dirty Soap. You can also find me on Etsy. Basically, anywhere. There somewhere. Yeah, I think that's about it.
You can also find Caffeinated Monsters on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and the Slasher app. If you are a fan of horror film or horror things, that's your go-to place to go for horror fans. It's fantastic and it's free. Yes. we're also on most listening. Yes. We're also on most listening platforms. You can also help us out on Buy Me a Coffee, buying merch, or help us out on Patreon by doing the £3 tier, which gives you shout out, movie, film parties, and all sorts of good things. Just pop over on Patreon and have a look for us.
Awesome. Thank you very much for having me.
All right, definitely having you on here again, because it's nice to have an odd ramble with someone that's so much so similar to me.
We'll let the listeners get used to being back into an order, and then I'll just come back in and mess it all up. It'll be great.
Chaos reigns.
I'm just chaos incarnate.
Oh, God. Yeah, right, I'm going to end it here.
Bye.
Bye.